Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Here's to you, 2022, this week, looking ahead at some of the big issues and themes that will be important for Greater Boston in the coming year. We started the show discussing healthcare. One thing we know is that our region looks dramatically different heading into 2022 than it did a year ago. New leadership in place in many cities and towns. There's a level of awareness about race, equity, health, as we just discussed, big systemic questions confronting us, and a set of regional challenges that confront us that we experience quite differently depending on where we live. So, as we enter 2022, we want to ask, what would make Greater Boston greater this year? We invite you to join the conversation. What will make us greater? What issues are an opportunity to tackle in solidarity and strengthen Greater Boston for all of us? And what issues run the risk of dividing us if we can't work together? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. With us now, former Boston City Councilor and mayoral candidate Andrea Campbell and Tito Jackson, also a former Boston City Councilor and CEO of Verdant, a cannabis company. Andrea, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy New
and
Year.
Tito, Happy New Year to you too. And Tito, welcome back to you. Hey, Tito, do I have you? Okay, so Andrea, it's you and me to start. We're going to get Tito back. And as you may know, I am also broadcasting remotely today. So it's all just part of the continuing work of COVID, which was and has been the elephant in the room in many ways. We just talked extensively about it. So I'm looking forward to lifting our heads to other community issues. So, Andrea, what could make Greater Boston greater this coming year? Let's just start there.
Well, first of all, it's a large question. And I think, you know, I watched the newly sworn city council be sworn in today, which was a historic day for the city. And of course, historic for the councilors themselves. Obviously, Mayor Wu is working really hard to confront the rise and surge in COVID cases, making sure our schools reopen tomorrow. Folks are concerned about their jobs and unemployment and economic prosperity. So there's a lot. I think The important thing is that elected officials, one, of course, make sure that they are centering community and working to get things done, not wasting any time, that they're working with a whole host of stakeholders on solving these issues. As you said, when you first started the conversation, we are almost like the mecca of healthcare. And so we should not have folks waiting in line for hours to get tested, waiting in line to get vaccinated or boosted. And this isn't just in communities of color. This is across the city and across the Commonwealth. So there's a lot more work to do, but I think folks want action. They want transparency and they want leadership. And that, I think, if we focus on those things, we can solve and tackle a whole host of issues that residents are dealing with.
Absolutely. Let's agree.
There you go, Tito. Hey there.
Yeah, I found the unmute button.
So jump on in. Unmute yourself about what will make Greater Boston greater this year.
And I absolutely agree with my former colleague and a great leader in the city of Boston, Councilor Campbell, about leading in the healthcare space. I think a couple of areas that we need to not go back to normal, because I think this is the opportunity that we have now, is to not go back to what it was normally when it came to the racial disparities that we have in the city of Boston when we look at healthcare. And the disparities there in terms of life expectancy in my district, from one end of the district in Back Bay to Roxbury, there's a 33-year difference in life expectancy. And that's in a city that has the probably highest concentration of Harvard doctors in the whole union. I also think another area that is absolutely critical is, and Councilor Campbell said it in her campaign, I said it in my campaign, I think it was across all campaigns this go-round, was the disparity in net worth. That nearly $300,000 for white families and $8 for black families is a great deal that we have to do there. And then there were some data points that came out that spoke to how much that costs us in aggregate, and that's in billions of dollars. But I think one area that we absolutely have to drill down upon is Councilor Campbell went to one of the oldest schools in the country. And I think it's about time that we get this area of public schools in the city of Boston and beyond and the disparities that exist there right, because that is really going to be the basis for the next generation. We know that young people represent 100% of the future. And in Boston, what we're dealing with is not HVAC problems. We actually only have H and W, which stands for heat and windows. There's not ventilation and air conditioning in most of the buildings. And that's a basic component, never mind dealing with the 21st century skills and the legislation that I put forward to make sure that all young people got computer science, for example. So we know now that these issues in a COVID era are so much more important than they have been in the past.
So I just want to pick up a couple threads there. First, for listeners, Tito Jackson did not misspeak. That was the Color of Wealth report in Boston in 2015. Average net worth for white families in Greater Boston, about $250,000. And for black families, it was $8. So a report from 2015. Tito, you raised a number of issues there. These are core issues. Equity in healthcare outcomes, education, infrastructure. I mean, these are, Andrea Campbell, these are bread and butter issues. And one of the things that kind of fascinates me coming out of 2021 is these issues that are real wherever you live, but you experience them deeply differently depending on who you are and where you live. And yet the solutions to them have to be regional. Whether that's housing costs, it's transportation, it is our public health infrastructure. We can't just solve that in one neighborhood of Boston, the opioid crisis. So how do we deal with this connection, Councillor, between the lived reality by neighborhood and the need for regional approaches on these big, big problems?
Well, it's first being, as Tito just remarked, honest about the state of affairs. You know, I was really proud that during our mayoral campaign, and I say ours, it wasn't just me. I had a lot of folks who are doing the work every single day in communities on the ground, addressing environmental injustice, dealing with health disparities. They're on the front lines, making sure that folks have jobs, of course, dealing with policing and ensuring that we're making sure that the reforms that folks march for are being implemented. So there are folks doing this work. And for me, it was important that we lift up and really state explicitly what these disparities are. And we know they exist in the city of Boston. Tito Jackson, of course, just referenced some of them. But I think really pulling apart in layman's terms, the fact is I live in Mattapan, for example, right now. I often remark that my two boys have a 5% chance of getting into a high quality Boston public school compared to some other neighborhoods where it's 80%. If you look outside of Boston to gateway cities and other communities, these disparities in the environment, in economics, in education, in housing have only been exacerbated by COVID. So once we state the fact, then of course we need to step up as leaders to say, well, what are we going to do about it? And the best thing about Massachusetts, at least, is that we have everything it would take to solve for these issues if we have leadership, operate with a sense of urgency, and also, of course, across every demographic you can think about to get things done. We have the resources, the technology, the expertise, everything compared to other states across the country that do not. We're very different. And so for me, it really is about being honest about where we are, but then rolling up our sleeves to do the actual work. And of course, elected leaders have to take the lead in most of that.
We are talking here on Radio Boston about what is imperative in our communities in this coming 2022 year. What will make Greater Boston greater. We're talking with former Boston City Councilors Andrea Campbell and Tito Jackson and you. What will make our communities stronger? What are the imperatives for us to address in 2022? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join the conversation, we've got Heather on the line in Boxborough. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi. I love this topic, and it's actually something that we worked really hard on in our little town of Boxborough. We're part of the Acton Boxborough community. But last year, we started, we called it the Freebie Market, because we're B is for Boxborough instead of Foxborough. But anyway, we started a free food market back last spring, and it was so popular, we continued it all through the summer and into the fall. But our approach was to make it for everybody, not just as a food line for people who were food insecure, but the idea was to engage the entire community from a sustainability component, where if you had extra that you weren't going to use or that would otherwise go bad from your garden, then bring it to the Freebie and people will go home with it. And we ended up expanding to crafts and books and baked goods. And the volunteers all felt that we had about 100 different people that volunteered throughout the summer. And they all said it was amazing, an opportunity for them to feel engaged in the community, to meet more people, and to sort of re-engage from being hibernating from COVID. And we love it as a model, and we're hoping to interact with other communities in case they want to copy something.
Heather, thanks for that call. Tito Jackson, I'm going to turn to you. Yeah, I hear you reacting. Just jump right in.
No. Well, so first off, Heather struck a chord. I am a foodie. And so the fact that this is happening, not only for those in need, but understanding this connection around community. And I think it's really critical that we actually really are deliberate about reconnecting people. And I think the other piece about Heather and the Free Bees model is that it destigmatizes this piece around wanting or needing a little bit of help. And I think we all need a little bit of help. And in this case, it might be food, but the other help that we need is definitely interaction and the ability to reconnect with each other. One of the other issues that is near and dear to my heart that really speaks to the time that we're in is the issue of mental health. And we have seen, and as recently as this past week, last Monday, there was a triple shooting on my street, right on the end of my street. And I want to thank those who reached out. I also want to thank Tiziana for reaching out. It was very scary, and in this case, sadly, it was a domestic issue where two women were shot and a man killed himself. And so this issue of mental health, the ability to make sure that we are connecting people with the mental health supports, also thinking about the technology that has been connected now in this time. All of my friends who are in the mental health area are all full. But they are doing telehealth. And so I think one of the other things that we need to really be thinking about is how do we use the technology that has come forward in healthcare, also in voting, right? Hey, it's kind of silly that we had these rules that actually help people vote in an easier fashion, or early voting that Councillor Campbell was able to participate in that didn't exist 4 years ago when I ran. These are good things, and that we need to really be thinking about how we sustain the good things that we've learned. And so I think those are a couple of other issues and solution bases that we need to really come back to.
I appreciate you, particularly picking up on mental health, Tito, and you did talk about somebody who died by suicide, and I do want to always put out this resource. If you are in pain, hurting, feel like you are at risk, or someone you love is at risk, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Andrea Campbell, I know where I want to go with what Tito Jackson just said, but there's so much there. Let me just let you go where you want to go next.
Yeah, I appreciate you not only reciting that line, and of course, Tito bringing up not only the what happened, of course, the recent shootings, and how tragic that is, but also mental health. You know, we don't actually, I think, pour enough resources into getting rid of not only the stigma around seeking out help, making it easy for folks to access help, pouring in resources to make sure that there are providers of color, for example, that look like the communities they serve, which is essential. And we know essential to getting certain communities to actually access these resources. But it made me also think about a recent conversation I had with a providers in my district that are providers of color that provide incredible mental health support. It's called Fathers Uplift is the organization. And I had a meeting with them before the end of the year. And they said, to their shock, you would think that the mental health services that they were providing were at the top of their list, or housing or something else. It was actually food insecurity. And so when the caller called in, Heather called, it wasn't just what she was talking about in the role that we all can play in our community to help someone else. And there's always a role we can play. But when she started talking about food insecurity, automatically I thought about this organization and mental health. And for me, it's in the year 2022, the fact that we are still dealing with families who are food insecure is baffling to me. When you think about the resources that are pouring into our city, when you think about the resources that exist, no family, no young person should be dealing with food insecurity. So there is a lot that we can do to address these issues if we work in partnership with folks who are doing the work on the ground and use government as a resource to scale up these solutions that we know have an impact in finally closing these gaps.
I want to just note just quickly that shout out to Fathers Uplift as well. In the summer of 2020, Radio Boston's Chris Siderick actually spoke with the CEO of Fathers Uplift, Charles Daniels. We can make that segment available again. Go ahead, Tito.
I think one of the other areas that we also have to lean on is the business community. And during this past election, there was a lot about, conversations about developers and the private sector. When it comes to our budget at the city, it's about $3.5 billion, but we have colleges and universities that have budgets that are actually close to our city budget. And so it is really critical in multiple areas that, one, colleges, universities, as well as hospitals step up and do their part in paying their payment in lieu of taxes, which is the voluntary tax that they pay. But I think it's also important that we actually invite to the table the business community, because we can't work in silos to deal with and solve all of these issues. When we look at those disparity numbers, we need to look at some of the largest institutions in the city. And when we look at models like Cleveland, where they actually have a worker-owned cooperative that actually contracts with hospitals and universities, and that cooperative is called Evergreen, and they do laundry. And their laundry company is actually populated with individuals who actually have Corys, and those are individuals who have a criminal record. So you now have an organization that is sustainable, right? Because they're actually doing business with Cleveland Clinic, with Case Western Reserve University, and all of these folks who are now beginning to solve these problems in a sustainable way. But it requires a real public-private partnership, and it requires large for-profit institutions to come to the table to solve these issues and not only allow government to be the only ones in the mix when it comes to that.
Well, we're close to out of time. I think I'm going to end it there, but I want to note Tito Jackson and Andrea Campbell, a lot of conversation here about showing up for each other in sustainable ways. I would really appreciate it if you'd both come back and continue this conversation in the coming weeks. Would you both be willing to do that?
I absolutely would.
Absolutely. Andrea, thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Andrea Campbell, Tito Jackson, former Boston City Councilors. Tito is now also the CEO of Verdant, a marijuana company. Thanks to both of you. And folks, that is our show for today, the first show for Radio Boston for 2022. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Walter Wuthman, and Amanda Beeland. Marquise Neal is our technical director. Karen Schiffman, our interim executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering. Good to be with you. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.